This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
Because it's such a global thing, let's start local, right? So locally, what is it? There are many groups that are working on the environment or, you know, caring about, but we're not connected together. So let's get us together, talk about each other's, and then we can really make an impact.
Welcome back to season two of the Tread Lightly podcast. If you thought season one was just about recycling, hugging trees, think again, because this time we're taking things up a notch, talking about everything from how community shapes our planet to why faith might just have something to say about the environment, and even digging into the quirks of human behaviour.
I think we all realised quite quickly that the environmental conversation is way too big to keep simple. So we're diving in headfirst at the deep end. Buckle in, because this season we're going to get real. Let's go.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome back to this next episode of our Tread Lightly podcast, where today we are absolutely delighted to be talking to Ajaib from the Medway Interfaith Action. Hello, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Really nice to meet you. Thank you very much for coming along in the sun.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We're really, really pleased that you can come along, because we are having conversations with people from all sorts of different faiths and talking about the environment with underneath that particular faith's lens. What is really interesting about you, and I won't steal your thunder, is that you are obviously here to talk about your own faith as well, but you are here to represent the interfaith community within Medway. So without further ado, could I ask you just to kind of introduce yourself and a bit about both of your roles that you're here to represent?
Yeah, so first of all, Medway Interfaith Action, MIFA for short, actually is a body of people, like-minded people of faith, all faiths, whether you're Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, or no faith as well. So there are many in the community who have a belief system but necessarily don't adhere to the standard faiths which we know of. And this is fine. We all have something in common, and that is that we're a part of humankind, humanity, and we have a great concern. Obviously, today we're talking about the environment and those aspects. But in order to have peace and harmony, we need to have respect for each other. So there are differences. There are differences among from a theology point of view, but also there are differences in the way we approach things. And we should respect that. But also there's a lot more in common. And certainly the commonality overweighs anything that is different, and difference is to be celebrated, and commonality, causes such as love and bringing everyone together in the community, is really fundamental. And today, you know, we're talking about the environment, and unless we're all together in it, all faiths and no faiths, you know, for the environment, you know, our grandchildren, children's children will not see what we have enjoyed in the last few years of our lives. So MIFA is all about bringing the community together. And I must say, I must take the opportunity and give you two things. One is every month, you know, we have a forum, which is either on Zoom, hybrid, and if I may plug it, www.medwayinterfaith.org.uk is the website, and this all the information is there. And we have different topics. So if you have a topic that you would like to talk about that is relevant to the community, then, you know, fire away, get in touch, and have your time. It's 1 hour with question and answers. And coming up is something which we've prepared for a lot this year. We do it every year, and it's called Walking for Peace. And this year's theme is love, walking with love and harmony. So again, some key words which bring people together. And typically we gather at the Gillingham Naval War Memorial. We have a service, and that service is from all faiths, all those who've signed up, at least who have the time to give. And this year will certainly be from the Jewish faith, from the Muslim faith, from the Sikh faith, from the church, and many others. And we'll be honored to be there with the mayor and mayor of Medway as well. So that's.
I remember seeing that last year.
Right. That's right. And this, again, we're trying to do it bigger and better every year.
Yeah.
And this year, the difference is we walk from the Naval War Memorial to the Gurdwara, the Sikh temple. If you haven't been there, that's wonderful and very hospitable peoples, you know, welcomes there.
Is that in Gillingham?
That's in Gillingham. Yeah. So it's just a 15-minute walk from the Naval War Memorial to Byron Road Gurdwara. And then we walk and they'll entertain us. And then we'll walk from there for the first time this year is at the Mandir. So a lot of people don't even know that there is a Hindu temple in Gillingham as well. Oh. So again, another 10-minute walk into the temple. And the temple, Hindu temple, is different. Again, it's not different to the Gurdwara. And they will provide us with refreshments and explain some of their deities because they believe in multi gods, for as an example. And then we walk from there along Canterbury Street to the mosque, which is on Canterbury Street. It's actually an old social. It used to be an Irish pub or social.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. It's a green building, you know, on Canterbury Street. And if people come, they will be astonished at how big it is. But from the outside, it looks really small. For example, on a Friday, we have up to maybe 1,200 people,
what?
You know, attend a Friday,
wow,
prayers, you know.
Wow.
And that's
insane.
It's full up and down, you know. So and we will welcome you as you're our guests, and you know, refreshments, but also a question and answers about faith or anything that's relevant to the mosque. And if you haven't been to the mosque, you know, again, it's a bit of an eye opener. It isn't in the same we're building a new one in the railway street in by the train station. Until that is ready, which is more purpose built, this fills his purpose. He has filled the purpose for the last 20, 30 years. So, and then we walk on from there to the finale, which is in St. Mark's Church. You know, if you have ever been to St. Mark's Church, which is at the bottom of Canterbury Street, opposite the Burger King place, you know.
Oh, I know what you mean. That's a big place as well, isn't
it? Yeah. And St. Mark's Church is one, we've been doing the final there for the last, I think, 3 years. We used to do in Rochester Cathedral, but that got a bit too much for some people to walk down to there.
Yeah.
So we ended up just here. And there, you know, honestly, you'll have a whole vast of entertainments from, you know, Kitka Bulgarian dancers to Turkish children entertaining us to gospel singing. And there'll be some henna and some craft activities for batch making, I think it is this year, for children. So really a nice environment, and people are welcome at any time. So don't feel like, you know, I just need to do the whole thing. Wherever you feel, you know, you can just come and join. Everybody's welcome.
That's really wonderful. And I'm conscious that this episode might not go out before your event takes place, but people can go have a look on your website and be able to have a look and see, because you've got other events, it's not just that.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious about what is your role within the Multifaith Action Group, and also how did you end up being there?
So I currently am the chair of Medway Interfaith Action. Mm-hmm. We have a core group of people which essentially help run the thing in direct. We have a corporate body which is people who have a seat on the board, if you like, from the church, from the mosque, from different faiths.
Yeah.
They have a say in terms of what we do and direction and so forth. And then there's the ordinary memberships, and then there's just everyone, anyone who wants to be part of, we send a newsletter out and stuff. Not newsletter, but email out to of relevant information. I moved into Medway, must be 10 odd years ago now. And one of the first things is personally, you know, I like to be attached to the mosque somewhere because we pray 5 times a day and you want to be close by and you want an environment. And I wasn't at that time, wasn't really sure where all the mosques are. And I found the Gillingham Mosque, the Canterbury, it's called the Kent, it's a long name, okay? So often you would hear the name Kent Muslim Welfare Association, which is a mosque on Canterbury Street, slightly different to the others, the 4 or 5 mosques in Medway, essentially. And one gentleman, Anur Khan, bless him, he's passed away now, but he probably saw something in me because I've been attached to mosque and helping with the community for a long time. Probably saw something that I, you know, he said, look, the person who's representing Kent Muslim Welfare Association in Interfaith was is a revert, Michael. He's moved out to Saudi Arabia. Can you, you know, help us? And I said, yeah, sure. That's, you know, that's no problem. So juggling, as we all do, between our day jobs and, you know, some things that is passionate to our hearts. And I said, I jumped on it. And, you know, a few years, Farron, who's running the Interfaith, was chair at that time. And then he stepped down for, you know, as time goes, I wanted to spend more time with family. And then I took over a few years ago, you know, taking over. I'd say that really with a not so, it's not taking over because it's without a team, you know, it's not
course,
me.
Yeah.
Everything is about a team. So
of
if
course.
You don't have a team, you know, you got nothing. So it's really just helping direct. So you do always need some sort of leadership and some sort of final say, if you like.
Somebody,
you know,
to keep you on track.
That's right.
We
that's,
need that.
That's
we certainly do need that. You're pitching for a post here, managing the hub.
Well, many skills. But, you know, that's how I got involved. And I've loved it. And I've continued to do that as much as we can, you know, as long as we live. You know, that's what it's all about.
It's so nice. We need to go and have a look, don't we? We need to go and have a visit sometime.
I'd love to be able to do that event with you. We've been talking a lot about how, like, different communities within Medway can kind of... how can they put their voice or make their views known around the environmental stuff that's we see, not even locally, but nationally, globally, that's the issues that are going on. And I kind of, for me, with your hat on as the chair, how do you see this group working together and speaking into that kind of environmental sphere? Because it's huge, isn't it?
It's huge. And I must say, you know, honestly, many, many people don't know about Islam and the relationship between the environment and Islam as a Muslim, you know, as a Muslim. The first time I understood environment personally was in the 70s. Going back
wow,
in the
ahead
70s.
Of your time.
You was ahead of your time, yeah.
My A-level project was to go out, collect samples of rain and analyze just pH, look at the acidity.
Wow.
You know, and that was environment, that was pollution, right?
Yeah.
And looking at water and how it's polluting, comparing that with tap water and all the different things.
Don't do it now.
No, but, and I remember that vividly, right? And I still remember, you know, those sticks and going at, and that was my impact, you know. And I, as a, you know, young man, you know, I didn't fully appreciate it, but now I realize that actually, where has society been? Why did it take the 70s and 80s for people to rise up and see that, you know, the environment is getting, you know, all that rain and then the ozone and, you know, all the UV, you know, we're all suffering, right? And all this climate change is a result of what man is doing.
Why do you think it did take so long from when people first started to recognize it to now?
And the key difference, Liz, is again, I think, okay, this is now a philosophical debate, right? A little bit, because in the West, it's mainly driven by, well, you know, this resource is going to run out. What are we going to do? Panic stations, let's do something, right? Or, oh, environment is changing, climate change, you know, this climate is limited, you know, let's take action. And before, until then, people were very happy to kill off all those plantations and put rubber trees and make a lot of bucks, you know, and that's what it was. Many, many people just didn't appreciate the environment because it was taken for granted. And the link between science and environment was, from a faith perspective, wasn't there. The church was not standing out and saying, hey, don't knock those forests down. The church was not standing up and saying, hey, slavery is bad, or, you know, I can go on forever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I tell you, the key difference is in Islam, from day one, you know, the day you're born, we believe God created everything for us, yeah? God loves, and I'll quote, actually, you know, in terms of... to God belongs all that is in the heavens and on earth. Okay? This is from the Quran. So everything belongs to him. And what is our role as a humanity, right? He goes on to say, and this is very, very interesting. Yeah. For he it is who has made you Khalifa, Khalifa on earth, and has raised some of you by degrees above others, so that he might try you by means of what he has bestowed on you. And thereupon we made you the Khalifa on earth, so that we might behold how you act. Quran 6:165. Now, Khalifa is a... You've probably seen the English again, we were talking earlier on about so some people spell it with a K and some people with a C, C-A-L-I-A. So Khalifa is a represent, you know, is a responsibility, right? But in this context, it's a guardianship. So as Muslims, we are guardians of what God has created, and that is instilled on us. So that's why God goes on to talk about everything is created in pairs, you know, that and the environment, you know, is so important. It's in balance. And therefore, from Islam and different to the West, is keeping the balance in nature, you know. So God has made, you know, we all eat grapes, so, you know, the grape wine, you know, it takes that dirty water and nourishes and becomes a fruit, and we eat from that fruit, right? You know, it gives back. Even in the nature, when something is dead, the nature takes care of it, you know, doesn't bury. But what have humans done? Very little, actually, to give back to nature. So all I'm just making a difference, actually, is what you were saying is, where is it that, why did it take so long? And I think it's only so long because in the Western sphere, we're occupied with making things, industrial revolutions, we were making things, or, and it's actually instilled in the way the system works, you know, more food, produce more food. Not on a need basis. You know, the need is in Africa. The need is in Asia. But who wastes the most food in the world? 1.6 billion tons of food is wasted in US. In UK, it's probably the same, right? All this food that is wasted, and we go on producing. I don't know if you remember in the, I think it was early 80s or 90s, those butter mountains. Do you remember that?
No.
I think I remember. Yeah. Is this the same as like flour? Like when
Butter, right?
Flour.
So they had, in Europe, they had an over supply of butter, milk, right? You know, so we used to, and we probably still do import a lot of our milk.
Yeah.
And there's so much milk, and they produced all this butter, but then not enough butter to give out to people, right? And they had all these mountains of butter in Europe, and they had to just destroy it all.
I seem to remember something similar with flour, where they would hold the flour back to keep the cost high, so that there wasn't this over, it didn't make the markets make everything cheaper because there was such an abundance of it. Instead, they would hide the flour away and not let you access it to keep the cost high, playing with the markets with food. It's insane.
Exactly. And this is the way the, you know, the system, if you like, you know, works, right? But if you go back to the Islamic tradition, which is really about eating what you need, you know, and conserving. So not being greedy. So one of the key things in Islam is, again, the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, if you cut a tree, plant a tree. You know, of course, they needed wood and all the rest for fire, but plant one. So Pakistan last year, I'm from a region of Pakistan, so Imran Khan, who's one of the greatest leaders we had so far in Pakistan, is in jail at the moment, again, because the powers to be don't like to have change, right? And he, what did he do for the environment? He planted in 2021, 1 billion trees.
I think I've seen this, that Pakistan have done some incredible tree planting projects.
Incredible, right? Now, if you, you know, obviously leaders like that are... Leaders like that are rare. They don't come up every day. And those people with visions and some, we need to support them. But again, the powers to be, you know, you know, the plants. But I just wanted to make that point that from an Islamic point of view, you know, it's about conserving. It's about giving back, keeping that balance. And another one, which is actually very, very important, water. Water is probably, you know, in after our lifetime, there will be wars over water. There are wars already in Africa,
you know,
you know, Sudan and Egypt, one comes straight, but, you know, even in Kashmir and so on, there are wars that are going to come from water, you know, and water is such a scarcity, right? And this is 1,400 years back, the Prophet, peace be upon him. He saw someone making, you know, as Muslims, we make ablution five times a day before we pray, which is basically cleaning yourself with water and washing your going through a ritual, washing your face, hands and feet before prayer every day. So this is five times a day, which is can be a lot, right? And he saw this person making ablution, and he said, that's extravagance. He's taking more than, normally it should be just a cup full of water, and that's more than sufficient. And he said, that's extravagant. And the person, you know, who's doing it, you know, was a bit shocked. But the prophet said to him, this is extravagance. Even if there was a river running by you, using the water that you're using, this is extravagance, meaning take what you need in a small amount, conserve water. And that has two lessons, right? One is take what you need, right, and preserve, so don't waste it, right? And the other is that this environment, the water, is something that is important. If you waste that water, it deprives the seas, it deprives, you know, life, right? So it's so, so important that we, and especially because the link between the faith, I'm not saying, you know, Muslim, to be honest with you, you know, are doing a better job today, you know, in the 21st century, you know, because, you know, to be honest with you, many of the Muslim, look, I just gave the example of a great leader in Pakistan who's overthrown by the military. They didn't let him come up. So most of the leadership are puppets or are not really thinking. And that's just modern, you know, 21st century. If you go back before then, let's say in the Islamic era, when the Ottomans were running, you know, the Khalifa, the operations, if you like, you know, in different countries, they had great systems of, and even before that, you know, great systems of conservation, aqueducts. If you go to Spain, Alhambra, you look at the gardens, those palaces, they have a beautiful, you know, gardens and greenery. So it was actually not visually, not just for visual aspects, but the way they were cooling the whole system was in a eco-friendly way, you know, and that's beautiful.
Are you tired of the same old chat about saving the planet? You know, like the reduce, reuse, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's time to shake things up because season two of the Tread Lightly podcast is here and we're diving deeper than your recycling bin.
This season, we're talking about community, faith, and yes, even why humans behave so weirdly sometimes when it comes to conversations about the environment.
Oh my gosh, they do. But there's no boring lectures here. So just real talk, tough questions and a little bit of banter along the way because let's face it, we all need to lighten up when we're trying to save the planet, right?
So if you're ready to stop tiptoeing around some of the big environmental stuff, get real and join the conversations. Come Tread Lightly with us.
Catch season two of the Tread Lightly podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, like now.
And while I talk about eco, there's one thing I must plug you because I think a lot of people don't know that one, but we're very lucky to live not too far from Cambridge. And Cambridge has Europe's first eco mosque.
Wow.
So if you ever, and you can go onto their website, you know, and you can register for a tour. Hakim Murad, a great, great person. Behind him, a great team, you know, they've pulled up a mosque with gardens, you know, at the front, and then eco wood they've used, you know, in terms of architecture, blend in with the environment. And then they have heat pumps, you know, for cooling, and then solar for
LEDs. That's very cool.
And that is really, and they designed it from day one to be an eco-friendly mosque.
That is
amazing. And that's an example for all mosques. And I would say wherever there's mosques, you know, and people are involved with the committee or whatever, you then instill that into people, you know, save water. So we constantly telling people in the mosque when they're making wood, please, you know, don't leave the taps on, or, you know, there's sometimes these LED automatic switches and whatever. And don't waste, you know, switch the lights off, you know, put solar panels, you know, or heating. So it starts from there. It starts from the home. It starts with the environment, the mosque or the street, and then it starts country. So you can carry on and protest as much as you like, you know, and of course there is a space for COP. And there is a space for country level legislation to make that happen. But fundamentally, it comes down down to yourself, how you are, how you believe it. And as a Muslim, I embrace, and as a member of Medway Interfaith Community, I ask all my friends from the interfaith community and not outside the interfaith to actually take that forward, embrace it as much as you can, and spread the word, because our children, grandchildren, you know, they may not see some of the stuff which we've seen. You know, I remember vividly, again, this is maybe a good example, but, you know, going back a few years to Pakistan, and I used to sit in a veranda, you know, which is like a sort of, yeah, it's not a big, it's just, that's typically the way those houses are, you know, sit there and just, like I do in my garden, actually, in my, I won't say where I live, but in my garden, yeah, in Medway, you know, I sit in the garden, watch the birds and watch the, you know, they come in and watch the, you know, and hear the noises. Beautiful. You know, we're lucky we have that. Mm. We can hear that. I went to Pakistan a couple of years ago and I was saying, there's something missing. You know, it's too quiet. I don't remember it being so quiet. And the reason is people have chopped trees down, right? And they haven't got the environment. Or, you know, they've taken, you know, poaching eggs and things. And even the Prophet, peace be upon him, one time some Bedouin came along and he gave him some siblings of, you know, this bird or something like that. And the mother bird was hovering by nearby, obviously shrieking, you know. And he told the person, and this is from Hadith, you know, straight away to take it back, you know. Leave nature alone, you know.
Mm.
Oh, of course, there is a balance, you know, and this is where it comes down to guardianship, khalifa, you know. So we're, as humanity, we're both users and guardians, right? So we use nature to feed ourselves. We use nature to beautify, you know, our surroundings, but all to a limit, all to a purpose, right? And not to overdo it. So we need to eat, yes, of course, whether you're vegetarian or whether you're on a meat-based diet, whatever it is, it's all in a balance, right? And having those not to overkill, you know, is really fundamentally important, which really comes, it reminds me of another thing which you may not know, actually. And you see, we think obviously of in the Europe, we have nature reserves, we have protected species, and we go into Africa and we have these Kruger parks and all, you know, and it's all right. So all this conservation stuff is mm-hmm. beautiful and very necessary. And so many species have already gone extinct, you know, within our lifetime. And what do you think in our grandchildren? But the concept of conservation in Islam was in 1,400 years ago from Islam, from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where in the area of Mecca, you're not allowed to kill any animals or trees. And it spread out to Medina and then elsewhere in the Islamic Empire. So protect, and those concepts are, you know, modern, you know, but actually they go back. In those areas you conserve, they shouldn't take the right of the people, i.e. if the cattle need grazing land, it needs to be a right balance, you know, conserve it so that both the humankind as well as the animal kind, you know, have a place, right? And sanctuary, you know. So if you're hunting, don't hunt for fun. You know, that's totally not allowed. I mean, although, you know, not good examples from, if you look at the practical aspects, but don't hunt for fun. And that's how it was traditionally. Traditionally, people were hunting to put food on the table, a rabbit or a sparrow or whatever it is, you know, food on the table. But now it's become a sport.
Yeah.
And as we, and you're not going to believe this, right? But, you know, it's come to the point, and I give example of Pakistan again, because I know a bit, you know, is there's a red, there's a Mirkur, I think is the name of the goat, you know, it's a special goat that is up in the mountains, very difficult to track, you know, and the price on his head is something like 150,000 or 250,000 US dollars, right? So they're wealthy people outside. Who in Pakistan can afford that sort of money? But, yeah, you know, nonetheless, the pay to go and get a trophy.
Find in it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. But I'm mentioning because Islam forbids, for the sport.
Yeah. Well, it's the same as we got Fox on in here. Like, I'm not comparing that to that. Yeah. But, you know, that's been banned, isn't it? And that's still an elitist kind of sport that happens. I know it still happens.
Of course it does.
And locally, but that's
and sport and that one. If I just I think I remember in Yellowstone Park, you know, this is how nature is a good point. Nature has all these species to keeps a balance in things, right? So what they did, they had too many foxes or whatever, you know, and they took all these foxes out of Yellowstone Park. What they found is that the park became unmanaged. You know, there was a lot of, and often you see, I was walking the other day and these cows grazing. You know, there's a reason why the cows graze is because they keep the grass, you know, under control. And the same thing in Yellowstone Park. You know, they found that the whole vermin and other things had gone out of control. So they had to reintroduce the foxes, you know, years later in order to bring all these things under control.
These that's what nature
is there. Nature is all under balance, and that's what God has created, everything in pairs. And there's another, maybe I can quote one actually. And it is he who spread out the earth and set thereon mountains, standing firm and flowing rivers and fruits of every kind. He made in pairs. He draws a night as a veil over the day. Behold, verily in these things there are signs for those who think and reflect. Quran 13:3. So people who think and reflect, and it is he who sends down rain from the sky, and from it you drink, and out of it grows the vegetation on which you feed your cattle. With it he produces for you corn, olives, dates, palms, grapes, and every kind of fruit. Behold, verily in these things there are signs for those who think and reflect. Quran 16:10. So often God, in the Quran, is called a book of pondering, a book of thinking, because God asks people to think and ponder. Because not everyone thinks, right? So those people who are environmentally, you know, interested in thinking and all that will take up the flag and will do it. And 90% of the people won't, right? So it's directed at people to really think. If you're not in that 90%, come to the 10%, think and reflect. Who created all this? And all these things in pairs. So if you take something away from egg and what have you, from a bird, you know, you're depriving that species, right? So it's very, very important from an Islamic perspective. That's where I'm coming from. And I think it's the interfaith, you know, I'm sure in other religions as well, there is balance, humanity. But in Quran, from an Islamic point of view, it's very, very clear. You know, there's no ambiguity in terms of words or phrases that might mean this, might mean it's language which we all understand because we see nature in front of us.
In my head, I'm going, I get all of that. There is so many similarities, by the way, loads of things that you said there that is in Christianity and the teachings in our Bible about stewardship. We would use the word stewardship. Yeah. We've been given stewardship over this planet to look after. And obviously the 2x2 thing, we've got the Noah's Ark, of that sort of stuff. But in my head, you've got the big role of the chair of the multi-faith group in Medway, and I'm trying to make the link of how having that role, which is quite an important role, I would say, for Medway, being able to bring all of these people together with a faith and to be able to have an impact, a positive impact on our natural environment. How do you even begin to try and make that happen and make that working out when you've got such a group of diverse people, which is amazing and wonderful? And that goes back to exactly what you said at the beginning when you opened, is we need to be together. We need to be having these conversations together. But how do you knit all of that stuff together to create positive environmental change within Medway?
That's a very difficult question to answer, but also a very good question. I think fundamentally, first of all, is to bring everyone to the same base level, educate ourselves. So that's what we try to do in MIFA with the forum discussions. And even if it's not a forum discussion, we ought to have more discussions like that, you know, in the church. You know, the church can host us. We can go to the Gurdwara, if they're happy to host us, we're happy to do that. Bring a single subject talk or multi-subject and talk about that, educate ourselves. And actually, for me, because it's such a global thing, let's start local, right? So locally, what is it? There are many groups that are working on the environment or, you know, caring about, but we're not connected together. So let's get us together, talk about each other's, and then we can really make an impact. So I know volunteering is not easy. You know, I know, and God knows how much time I spend for volunteering, right? I know, or my wife also knows.
Your wife, yeah. I bet she knows the exact amount of hours, actually. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it does need a lot of time and effort. And we say, typically, without sacrifice, nothing comes, right? So this is very easy. You know, it's very easy to bring us together on a platform, and you could be conduits as well, you know, for that. From this great podcast that you're doing, reaching out to people. And we come together and share what is the problem area if in your environment, right? Or in your area related to environment, what we can do together, whether it's Islamic faith or Christian faith or even non-faith, you know, because look, fundamentally, we're all neighbors of each other. And if you explain that, we're all neighbors of the whole planet, you know, but locally we're neighbors, and everything we can do to make that impact has a great reward personally, because we believe as Muslims, we are rewarded in the hereafter. And I again quote one thing actually from the Quran. So whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. So this is a small atom of it. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. So in the context, this is Quran 99.78. So whether it's a small or big, a good will be rewarded according to us in the hereafter, right? And evil will be punished. You know, this is clear. So when you think of that in those terms and you think about the neighborly impacts, so I can say, look, how many green spaces do we have here? What are we doing to take care of that? Neighborhood, you know, we have neighborhood policing, but do we have neighborhood environmental police? You know, I'm really, really pleased to see somewhere in Luton area, or, you know, you go some of those, they're good parts, they are good peoples, but some bad peoples spoil it for everyone, right? And, you know, what can we do to change that? And that's part of our common neighborhood responsibility, right? We talk about water wastage, and I think, you know, used to do a good thing about, you know, showers and, you know, making those using less of and special gadgets. And we should do, maybe as a community, buy some of those things and give to people who can't afford them, you know, and do proactive initiatives like that. You know, it's all about, people look to, oh, he will do that or they will do that, but really it comes down to yourself. You know, if you have the idea, you have the will to do it, where there's a will, there is a way. So you can drive these things. So when I carry this hat as a chair of, I'm often thinking about what can I do first, and then what can I do to bring a team together to help me move it forward. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I've tried it, and I've.
I love that. That's Lizzie's motto. You must have heard her before. She always says, "Let's just see if it sticks."
Yeah.
I'm thinking, is there anything that stands out to you that you, as a multi-faith group, have done environmentally that you think we're really proud of? That what is the things that you've kind of gone, yeah, I'm happy that we've done that environmentally?
I think because we're a group of people with a lot of these shared stuff around interfaith, but individually as well, we have different members doing different things.
Of course.
So I gave an example of friends, you know, who are MIFA. They didn't do it under MIFA umbrella. They did it under, you know, another umbrella for Medway Plastic Free, which we know of.
Of course,
you know, which is
a
brilliant initiative. And I help some, you know, in terms of where we can from a MIFA point, but because others are taking that, yeah, that's the best way. You know, you create a mother pod, if you like, and then small pods, and each pod can take on its own life, you know, and that's the way it should be. So That's one that comes straight away. I think things which we're doing, like, which is taking a lot of our time as well, these walks, you know, fantastic stuff. I think it would be nice to do community gardens and educate people about gardening and giving back, you know, and eating healthy and all the rest of it. That comes as a second product, you know, from that. So personally, I'm sort of involved a little bit on that. But yeah, there's more we can do. You know, there's not in, it's
oh,
all
listen,
in,
there's always more that everybody can do.
That's right. And I think, you know, again, if MIFA can help, I think, you know, I have to talk through with some of my team. You know, if we can bring something together, I think especially on a platform where we're talking about environment, we're talking about our areas, what we can do to make a change, whether it's simple things as, you know, water, whether it's harnessing or planting trees, or it's cleaning up, you know, so much. You know, so many, you know, we can brainstorm all day, you know, and come up with many, many tasks to follow up. But I think the fundamentally, as I say, Kayleigh, is really coming down to working together and identifying people in the community, like-minded community, who can come and gel together and move it forward. It's all about a team effort. And we've seen that, and we need younger people, to be honest with you as well. You know, I mean, I'm always astounded that a lot of, maybe it's because later in life, you know, we come to realize, you know, what it is, but we should have started, I should have started earlier. I started with myself. I should have started much earlier. Yeah, I mean, maybe I've been doing this for 15, 20 years, you know, in interfaith type stuff, but I should have done it much earlier when I was in my prime, you know, and that's what
you're doing
is.
An amazing job.
And
You're still in your prime.
So, yeah. But we need more people, we need more youngsters. And I think it's not just the Muslim community. I think, you know, it's the same in the church as well. I know of trying to get younger people involved and focused on these things. You know, and again, I want to plug it while it's still there. You know, there is a reason why there is a green in the Green Party, you know. So we're all coming into the environment discussions, and it'll be unfair. And we got the elections as well, not to mention that you might go after the elections anyway. But you know, the Green Party is a party that is standing for the environment, you know. And whether you like it or not, I think, you know, whether we had different background before, you know, because we were not focused on that and we were on other things, I think we do need policies that protect the environment and protect our future and our children's and our grandchildren's future.
Well done. It has been so enjoyable talking to you and hearing all about the amazing stuff that you've got going on and teaching us. I've learned so much.
So have I. It's been an absolute pleasure to talking to you, and thank you so much for sharing information about not only your faith but about your role in interfaith as well. So we can't thank you enough. Please keep going and keep in touch as well.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Kayleigh. Really appreciate it.
That's it for today's episode of the Tread Lightly podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and maybe, like Kayleigh and myself, even picked up a new perspective along the way.
If you did, do not keep it to yourself. You need to give us a like, rate the podcast and share it with somebody who needs to hear it. And of course, follow us on all of our social media, which is hilarious because we are on LinkedIn, TikTok, oh my gosh, Facebook and Instagram. And you can also stay in the loop for more episodes and updates. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, keep treading lightly.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.